Yeah, I caught that.
Scott's going to really avoid putting these things up on the internet now.
He's going to avoid putting up what?
He's going to really avoid putting these things up now. He's having the most exciting conversation ever happened, and some guy snoring in the background who's supposed to be recording it.
Yeah, wait, here I heard two snores or snorks, and then click, like you woke up and realized you were being taped and hung it up, right?
Yeah, no, my subconscious heard you make a comment about my snoring, and then I woke up, oh, shit, I forgot to put it on the mute.
So how long were you sleeping?
Probably only those two snores.
Yeah, you, in other words, your head was dozing off, and then
finally. No, I was up all night last night, and I was just wiped out, beat. So I decided, well, I'm going to just let the tape recorder run. I'll go lay down and put the phone next to my head, and then listen, you know, and try to relax. Oh God.
Yeah, and what another? You did two disasters. It was something earlier.
I stepped out of the room, and for some reason, you guys decided to stop talking. I came back in, and I'm like, oh no, I better got to bring up the email and try to tell Bob that we got disconnected. I'm typing my email, and then all of a sudden, you guys start talking again.
Yeah, that's why you got to get your rest, because the one night that you need rest, everything's going to go wrong when you're least prepared for it.
Yeah. Well, that part's not going to show up as a problem, because I'll just edit out the silent spot.
But the snoring, you keep that in. That's funny.
Yeah.
Why not? It's all part of the point I was making. There is no content.
Well, you know, I mean, Scott's got to be to the point where he's not feeling self-conscious or insecure about what people think about him, because he was saying right on the tape, I don't even want to, you know, to be honest, Bob, I can't even play this for my friends anymore.
The typical Darmstadt effect. You enter Darmstadt, you start saying, uh-oh, I'm in trouble now. I'm not putting this on my resume.
Oh, that's right.
The real danger zone. With the friendliest, nicest talker there, but it turns into a disservice pretty quickly.
Right.
They perceive. They don't know. I'm just helping them realize you don't have to worry about anything. Nobody cares, Scott.
Yeah. Well, you know, while you were towards the end there, you were talking about how even you're doing Bob is becoming obsolete. You know, I realized something, you know, it hasn't gone deep enough yet, but I'm beginning to shift a little bit to the non-physical part of myself, where I notice that it doesn't matter. You've always said you're not really identified with what you say.
Yeah.
And I'm beginning to detach from being identified with what I think and what I say, and it's really nice, actually. Because
I think Ion says that it's altering those that listen to it. You're being altered by it, non-physical. Ion's coming in and mutating all those that luck on it.
Could be.
You're being affected. You're listening to a lot of Ion, and you're probably being your non-physical saying, "Yeah, that's right, Scott. Relax."
Yeah. Here's another thing. I may have a new job lined up. And it's fucking happening so easily that I'm scared that I'm walking into a trap, because this has never happened before. I mean, something's wrong here. This can't be this easy.
Good. It can't be this good. I told you to relax and allow. You've been listening to Ion. Now you can't believe it's happening.
Yeah. So.
What is it?
Well, I'd be like a field technician going out and working on computers that are installed in different stores around, retail stores around town. These are computers that are used for maintaining inventory and purchases, and used at the checkout stand for making transactions. You know, people swipe their card and they get their products. That all has to go through a computer. This company manufactures these computers, and they're looking for somebody in the Portland area to go around and service them. So,
how did you find out about them?
I finally broke down and went online and said, I got to start this process. I hate it, but I got to start this process of looking for a job.
Yeah.
I was like, I go to two job sites and I see this job and I go, and it kind of clicks with me. I'm thinking, that looks kind of interesting. So I print it off and, I take the printout to work with me, and I look at it a little more closely, and I go, shit, I'm qualified for this job, and it looks like it pays pretty good. Whoa. I'm thinking, wow, there's probably 40 million other people want this job. And I'm going to go back and apply for the job. So I go back and apply. I go back online to apply for the job, and the job's already been removed from the website. It's, like, not even posted anymore. But when I went there the first time, I just did a stupid, they had all these questions they wanted you to fill out, and they wanted you to attach your resume. And I thought, well, I don't even have a resume ready, and I don't like giving out a lot of personal information and my home address, and they wanted all this stuff. So I just typed in Bob Dobbs, and I put my phone number in there, and I didn't attach a resume, and they had a couple of check boxes. I clicked yes, no, and I hit enter, and I thought that'll be the last of that, but it's, I'm taking tiny little steps towards actually getting involved in this job process thing. Next day, I get an email. Next day, I notice that the job's been removed. It's not even there anymore on the website. And I get an email from some recruiter at this company, Fujitsu, and they go, you showed some interest in this job, but you didn't give us a resume. Would you please send us a resume? So I think, oh, shit, I guess I really better get my resume ready, because I didn't have the will, actually, to try to get my resume together. So I pull out my resume, I start looking at it, and my last resume that I wrote when I was job hunting didn't apply to this job at all, and I'm thinking, how am I going to figure out how to tweak this so that, all the stuff that I do know how to do is going to look, I don't know how to write this fucking resume. Well, turns out when I was in school, there was this guy, Chuck, that I used to get software from, and he was he did a lot of systems administration and computer technology kind of computer repair kind of stuff. He was pretty good in that, and I happened to have his resume. So I go, well, I'll just send him Chuck's resume and put my name in there. 2 hours later, I get a call from this guy. He wants to interview me. We had an interview today, and it's fucking starting to shape up.
He told you he was positive of what you offered.
Yeah, he said he's interested in me. He called me from New York. He's the head guy, and he says, "Well, I want you to talk to my field agent out in Hillsboro. Let's see if we can get an appointment for you next week."
That's Hillsboro's near you?
Yeah, it's just 10 minutes away.
So how could you put Chuck's thing in and then justify it?
Because I started reading his resume and I realized, I've told you that I've been doing computer studies on my own, for some time now.
So what he claimed, you could claim.
Yeah, I thought, let me just finish this and you can say. I looked at it, I started reading, I'm going, well, fuck, I can do that. I can do that. I know, I can talk about that. Jeez.
Yeah, yeah.
And I thought, And he's worded this thing, it looks really good. I could never word a resume like this. So I'll just send him Chuck's.
Yeah, okay. Now, what you've been doing? You did. You followed your fastest path to your joy. You said, I'll just put Bob's name in as a joke. I'll rip off Chuck's resume. That's what I feel like doing. I'll do it. Look, it's working, Scott. We could cite you as an example. We could anonymously lay out what you did.
Yeah.
How to get a job today.
Right. Then I started getting nervous. I'm going, oh no, this is too easy. This is a setup.
I thought you start your own business. You're just going to end up working for some other joker again. You, as Ion says, when Oprah wants to get us on her show, we're going to say, fuck you, we don't care about your show.
Yeah.
We may play hard to get. You ought to play hard to get, Scott.
So this job pays more than the job I have now. I work out of my home. I don't even have to go to a fucking office. They call me when they have a service that needs to be done. I jump in my... They're giving...
You're a computer... a repairman.
Yeah, they'll provide me with a company car. I'll just jump in the car, drive out to the store, fix the problem.
Well, there you go. You're a shepherd. You're a shepherd. When the sheep goes astray, you go and get it.
Yeah, right. So
well, that sounds good. See? Yeah. So if you have this soon, you'll say, shit, that was too fast. I wonder if I could have even got faster.
Yeah, I should have turned that offer down. Shit.
But you're not, because you never know what's going to do. So.
Well,
what you got to do is take that job and then resume applying for other jobs.
Yeah, I could do that.
You just keep escalating.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, that's great. I think that's so no wonder you started saying, it doesn't matter what I think. Well, I'll just send another. I'm not Scott anymore. I'll just send
another
shit.
Right.
The reason you wrote him, Bob Dodge, is like, I hate doing this, typing forms. I can't even begin to really get into it, so I'll just put in an easy name. I can't even put my own
name.
Yeah,
I was thinking, you know, I'm not going to attach a resume. I don't even want these people to know who I really am in case I do decide that I want to apply for the job, you know.
Sounds like there's nobody applying for it in some way.
What'd you say?
Sounds like there's nobody applying for it.
Yeah, well, I earned two certifications that were difficult to obtain, and one of them is required for this job. You know, I started talking to Karen about it. She says, yeah, it was probably hardly anybody in Portland that has that certification. And I said, yeah, but when I took the certification, I said to the guy, how many people, you know, take this test? I mean, how many people come down here and sign up to take the test? He goes, oh, I don't know. We get a lot of people come down and take the test. And Karen said she should have asked him how many people passed the test.
Yeah.
So it may be that they just, that a lot of people saw the ad, but they just didn't feel, well, I don't have that certification, and I don't have these qualifications, and the, you know, the wrong people.
So all your courses paid off.
Yeah.
So let's get on to more interesting things, Scott, since you solved that problem so quickly. Now you get back to your boring life and in Bob stuff. Get back in course, in the course.
Yeah.
Resume your lessons.
Yeah, right.
So you listened to last week's Scott Woods thing. What'd you think of it?
It was pretty good. Because I have been preoccupied with thinking about the whole job thing, I didn't listen to it. Sometimes I have to listen to these things two or three times to actually get enough things to stick. Like if you said something from the show, it would prompt my memory.
Yeah.
I can't remember the specifics of what you talked about, but I thought it was a good show. And
think about what you picked up tonight. What do you think?
Well, I don't know. I was thinking that unless Scott can hone in on what he wants to know or what he doesn't know that he wants to know and start bringing out some good questions, it feels like you guys might be finishing up on this topic. Because it just felt like, you know, he's adrift, and you're just saying anything that comes into your head.
Yeah, well, that's I'm giving him the Android meeting experience. Like everyone that we've done could be considered the. It always ends up me going on and him sort of saying, "Nah, I don't know. I don't know if I can do it, Bob." Every show.
Actually, you know, maybe when I go back and listen to it, and I'm not, you know, half asleep, I'll change my mind. But I enjoyed the pre-talk more than the talk itself because, you know, it was fun to see his little video and you know, all the little things that we talked about Norwood.
That was good, but the thing is, it's interesting. We're talking. This is real dialogue because we got a guy who's got a dilemma and got Bob who claims to know everything and even more. So it's a good Socratic dialogue. That's really what it's about. It's not about rock crit. It's about every time we get into something that gets him worked up, and he stays longer than he should have.
Yeah, I know. He stayed really late tonight.
Yeah.
I mean, we didn't even get started for an hour, and then he went like an hour and a half after we got going.
Yeah.
So
every week, if he dares to show up, if he catches on that's really like with Ben, therapy, I'm a therapist, and it's not obviously therapist when we start, but it becomes therapy by the end.
Yeah.
And he has to confront his existential situation.
Yeah.
Of the present, which is the best kind of criticism.
Yeah. Well, the one of the things actually that's also helping me to detach is, you know, I mentioned it a couple. I hesitate to mention it because I'm not proselytizing, but this Course in Miracles book, you know, there's these lessons in the back. They're just, you just read one a day. They're just, you know, the first one says, you know, it says nothing I see in this room means anything. And then the next one says, I have given everything I see in this room, on the street, etc., all the meaning it has for me. You know, and then the next one says,
what's that one? Say it again.
It says, I have given everything I see in this room, on the street, etc., all the meaning it has for me. And the next one says, I do not understand anything I see in this room. And then I'll just read the next one, because it's like 100 of them. It develops, and it says, these thoughts do not mean anything. They are like the things in this room I see on this street or in this place. So it goes on from there, and it gradually coaches you to detach, to get into the non-physical place of being detached from what you say and what you feel and what you think, and noticing that's all, that you're, that it has no intrinsic meaning other than what you're giving to it or projecting into it. But that if you can get, I think, you know, what it's saying is that if you can shift into your non-physical, then you'll find the real joy, the real meaning, what it is that's intrinsically authentic about being alive, as opposed to all of your thoughts, feelings, projections, relationships, and everything, which is just covering up reality.
Let me respond there. So it reminds me, McLuhan said in the 60s that the electronic environment, the global theater, was the most spiritual condition man could live in. And the reason is that he could not identify with any culture that he was or with the present, because there's so many shifts, media changes, that you couldn't stay in long enough to get solidified. So the various aphorisms and platitudes that you're reading there is the effect of the Android meme.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Next one, I'm never upset for the reason I think. I'm upset because I see something that's not there. I only see the past. My mind is preoccupied with past thoughts. I see nothing as it is now. My meaningless thoughts are showing me a meaningless world. I'm upset because I see a meaningless world.
Well, remember what McLuhan said, he saw meaning everywhere. I mean, I certainly am not impressed with these statements, Scott, but
no, but here's the thing.
Is this channeled information?
Yeah. I think
Marianne Williamson, isn't she offered the Course in Miracles?
Yeah, I don't know if she does a good job of it or not. She's sort of famous, for sort of promoting it, but I don't know if she's a good actually an authentic or a good teacher.
Okay, so where did it come from?
Well, it was this woman named Helen. Her name will come to me in a minute. I know her name. She was a social scientist. She was a psychologist. She headed a department at a prestigious university. Her boss actually was the head of the department. He was the psychiatrist, head of the department for some big mucky-muck university, head of the department of psychiatry, and she was kind of next in line to him. She was a scientist, and they had reached a crisis point where they felt like the therapy and the psychiatry and the stuff they were exploring wasn't working, and they didn't know what to do about it, and there was problems in the department, and they felt that. And she said, "Well, she says we're going to find something that works." She made this commitment, this determination, and he accepted her challenge. And then all of a sudden, she started spontaneously writing stuff down. She would go into an altered state, and she would look and see what she wrote, and she kind of freaked out. She thought maybe she was becoming psychotic or something. Mm-hmm. She showed it to the guy, and Helen Schuschman, I think was her name. She showed it to this guy, her boss, the head of psychiatry. He read the stuff, and he says, well, he encouraged her. He says, well, something wants to talk, something wants to speak through you here. You know, maybe it's your own unconscious. Let's explore this further. So she started going deeper into it, and then she just channeled this whole book. And presumably, I mean, the author of the book is Christ.
Hmm. Why? Who says that?
Well, it's revealed. He reveals himself as being Christ in the book.
Well, that ain't true, but it could be the same thing that came through Christ, non-physical.
Yeah. So.
And Christ is, you know, the Christ is not Jesus. He was the Christ. His last name.
Well, actually, no. It was. Yeah, I understand. I mean, in the theosophical terms, Christ is. And Jesus was a vehicle for it at that time. You know, he was a clear channel for it. Now, so I misrepresented it. The author portends that he is Jesus.
Oh, he does say that?
Yeah,
says it is Jesus.
Yeah.
Well, who cares? It doesn't matter. But anyway,
well, the material is good. I find. See, one of the things that nothing Ion has said has contradicted anything I've learned from this material. And as a matter of fact, it's made it. It's helped to bring it out some. There, the only thing, the only critique that I, the only way in which this material might be tainted is that it has some. Some kind of religious overtones, and people don't, you know, people don't like that anymore. That, well, I'm not religious, I'm spiritual, but it's beautifully written. The author has a mastery of language and is
And it's about 20 years old.
Yeah.
Well, no problem.
So let me just read like two more just to get past what I was reading.
Yeah.
So the next one says a meaningless world engenders fear. And then it says, but God did not create a meaningless world. So see, it's trying to get us to shift out of our own the meaning that we give to the world, which actually covers that real meaning that I think McLuhan was tapping into. I mean, when he saw meaning, it was because, you know, God didn't create a meaningless world, but each one of us individually in our own little isolated self, separated self sense created, we tried to imbue the world with our own meaning, and that in itself is meaningless.
Yeah. Or meaningful. I think that's the opposite of Ion, in the sense that you create your own universe, so you create your own meaning.
Yeah, I think that, for instance, the way that we've been conditioned by culture to think and feel, and that's what we identify with. Until we can begin to disassociate our identification with that puny little mental intellectual conditioning, or the being stuck inside of our little thought bubbles or little reality tunnels or whatever. I think that there is something real that we can. And all the mystics and the yogis have said this, you know, they tap into the blissful union of what Ion's talking about, physical and non-physical coming together. And then the little egoic mind becomes of service to something which is real, and which is what the person was always really authentically looking for, and it's got very little to do with the person's little personal insecurities and survival and identification with the, you know, this book says that, you know, your identification with the body is half of your problem and all of its processes and thoughts and stuff like that, because it just occludes that which is real. And, occludes, yeah. Because, you know, and I think to some degree that's what you and Carolyn are doing. I mean, if you're going to allow your body to live beyond what the consensus reality believes is true, then you have to be tapping into some energy that's more authentic and more real than what we've been conditioned to believe we are.
Yeah. So, interesting, reviewing, whether I'm doing number 42 with Ion, I was getting this aspect. He says there's two conversations to everything. So, The Course in Miracles is absolutely putrid bullshit, but it's also great stuff if you find it. See? So it's always two things. You will get great inspiration from it, and then you're going to have to drop it.
Mm-hmm.
To keep the two things going all the time.
Yeah.
We can't, it's hard to live with two conversations.
Yeah. Yeah.
And Ion, see, Ion knows it's limited to words.
Well, you know, it gets back to what you were saying to Scott, that everybody wants everyone to think like them, because it validates their misperception of the world, but it also validates their perception of the world and makes them feel more real.
Right, and then Ion would add, however, once everybody does start to think like you, you get bored shitless and go looking and screaming out of the room to find people don't think like you.
Yeah, that's right.
Paradox. Two conversations.
Yeah, that's true.
Outcomes. So the so Ion says, what's interesting is Ion, what it says, limited words, can only say what some people would recognize as mystical wisdom or New Age wisdom or this or that. But the extra thing is Ion knows that and is operating beyond the words. That's what's going on.
Yeah.
So don't mistake, if you start listening to Ion, you'll respond, your non-physical will respond to the energy that's being communicated in the present, live on the radio, or
right.
In the archive, which sounds like it's live.
Yeah.
And that is the massage that's happening here.
Yeah.
And so people will say, oh, they hear part of Ion, oh, I've heard all that before, that's this or that. They missed the point.
Yeah.
And so that's what's going on here. It's the direct medium massaging us.
Yeah. Yeah.
And you know, and partly that is communicated by the fact it has the energy to talk for 3 hours on Wednesday about all kinds of different topics.
Oh, man, Lazarus would go on for 8 hours a day and do it for days in a row.
Right.
So, I mean, I'm not unfamiliar with that phenomena. And that was one of the things that always convinced me that he was authentic, because I had the same response 30 years ago. No human being could do what this guy's doing.
Right. So that's what communicates to people.
Yeah. You know, but that was 30 years ago, and I'm still a dumb schmuck. So, you know,
you're a dumb schmuck. Well, no, yeah, you didn't get the message. You got one more chance with Ion.
Well, there's always going to be one more chance, but it seems to be a very gradual process.
Well, it
is speeding up, because the veil's thinning for all of us. You know, the pressure cooker is getting turned up, and you know, the cream rises to the surface and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah. Yep. Pressure's.
You know, alchemy is about, I think it's about, melting down the crystallization so the impurities can drop out.
Right. Or recognizing the impurities can't drop out, and you accept both conversations, both pures and impures.
Well, you can't get past your bias if you're stuck in it, and you have to get past your bias to get past to get unstuck.
Yeah. And then you recognize, hey, I love my bias. There's no problem having one.
Well, I guess maybe because you are.
No, I don't mean me. I mean bring in two conversations. It's always two conversations.
Well, see, one of the things that the Course in Miracles addresses is that, you know, I mean, you're either flowing in the Tao and the love or whatever, these are my words, it doesn't say that, or, you know, there's you're having a fearful response to the world.
Yep.
Because you have parts of you that are trying to survive, they're trying to cling to their, seeming like one of the things about moving into this new possibly moving into this new job, if I'm hired and if I accept it, the whole idea is very uncomfortable to me, because I'm very comfortable and settled in my ways in the job that I have now. You know, I know what to expect. I have a routine, a regimen. I bring my iPod to work. I listen to Bob. I shuffle around. I do my stuff. Go home. Go to bed. And now all of a sudden I'm looking at, man, everything is going to change. And part of me is going, yeah, but it's going to change for a better. And another part of me is going, no, I like it the way it is.
Yeah, two conversations right there. There's going to be good things about this new situation and bad things compared to the good and bad of where you are.
There's always
You're never going to get it perfect.
Yeah. It's always the services and disservices. But, you know, you get... I think if you become detached enough... See, an aphorism from A Course in Miracles is... Nothing real can be threatened... And nothing real can be destroyed. I forget what it is. It has something to do with, you know, any part of you that can be threatened or feels threatened or feels that its survival is at stake actually is not real, because that in you which is real knows that it's indestructible and has no cares about trying to figure out how to make the world work for on its behalf, because it's fine under, in other words, like for instance, there's another teacher who's gaining a lot of prominence. She's actually pretty good. Her name's Byron Katie, you know, and she has this book called Loving What Is, you know, and she says, you know, if you get cancer, you know, I mean, wonderful, you know, love the process of having it. Doesn't mean you have to lie down and die. Doesn't mean you're not going to go find the best doctor you can and try to do something about it. But see, nothing can disturb her peace. Nothing can disturb her ecstasy, regardless of the form changes that happen in her body, regardless of whether it looks like she's dying, regardless of whether it looks like the world is coming to her aid and everything's bringing her roses. Whatever happens with her, she's in love with the entire thing. Nothing that happens in the world of illusion can diminish her the peace, the deep sense of feeling of peace and ecstasy that she has, and she sees everything that happens as being perfectly attuned to what should happen. So there's no. In other words, she's someone who's actually does not resist or push against anything. Now. That takes, for most of us, has been conditioned to try, that we have to survive, that conditioning being cellular, going all the way back to when we were animals trying to feed our stomachs or whatever. You know, I don't know what it takes to actually become free from having to push against anything, because these.
How did you find out about her?
Type her name in, Byron Katie. How did I find out about her? Well, I found out about her when I was in L.A. and I went to a couple of her things and I recognized that she was good, but I felt...
When was that? When were you in L.A.?
When I used to live there.
Oh, this is a long time. She's been around for a while.
Oh, yeah. And then now, all of a sudden, half the people I know are all running around with Katie Byron books.
How do you spell Katie?
Well, her first name is Byron, B-I-R-O-N, and then her last name is Katie.
How do you spell it?
Well, let me look it up, because spelling is not my forte. I just Google it. B-I... Come on, computer. My computer's slowing down. B-I-R-O-N...
K-A-D-E-Y?
No, K-A-T-I-E. So it's B-Y-R-O-N-K-A-T-I-E.
Okay, good. All right, so we got to go, but I just want to finish. You have here the WBI birthday party continues. You don't need to write all that in, because I want to get the date, more the date, which would be 01, it was Sunday. Today is 7th, 10th.
Yeah.
Wait a minute. We got here January 10th for Radio Unnameable, so that doesn't make sense. So today is the 18th. Yesterday was the 17th. Last Sunday was the 10th. So why do we have Radio Unnameable January 10th here? It should be Friday.
Let's see here. It says January 10th right on the website.
Yeah, for...
Sunday, January 10th.
Yeah, so how come we have WBAI Radio Unnameable?
That's Radio Unnameable. That's from... a radio nameable show that we recorded a long time ago, that was done a long time ago.
Yeah, a week ago, but it can't be the 10th, because radio nameable is on Friday morning.
Yeah, but these are not radio nameable shows. This is the WBI 50
yeah.
celebration.
No, no. See where you have radio nameable 011010 MP3?
Wait, hold on, I gotta open it up.
Yeah, I'm looking at the five body thing.
Yeah, 011, yeah, 011010. You asked me to download that, I think, on, it says, and I uploaded it on January the 11th, and it was recorded on January the 10th.
How could that be? Radio Unnameable is on Thursday nights going into Friday, which would be the 8th.
Well, I can change it to the 8th, you know, I don't know. Maybe I downloaded it on the 10th and I called it the 10th because that's when I downloaded it.
Yeah, no, because it was a recent radio unnameable, right? It was last week, we know that.
Yeah.
So it had to be a Friday morning, and if Sunday's the 10th, then it had to be the 8th. So you can change it, make that 01, 08, 10, right?
Okay, try refreshing your screen and see if it's better now.
You just changed it already?
Yeah.
Yes. Oh, January 08-10. That's good. Now, let's make... I would just have WBAI 50th and then the date. You don't need to put birthday party, continues birthday... you don't need to do it. Just have the date. You know what I mean? Not so many words. So you can have the
date.
Well,
they have to be in some kind of sequential order, so they have to be numbered somehow.
Well, the time numbers it, 1 p.m. Now, here's the way you do it. You do where you have WBAI 50th Anniversary Celebration kickoff, that's 11 a.m.
Okay.
That's the first one. Then you would do 1, 2...
So you want me to just say WBAI Birthday Party 1 p.m., WBA Birthday Party...
No, WBAI 50th Anniversary, and then the date. So it'd be WBAI 50th anniversary 01-10-10. And then
okay, so for the so you want me to remove the word kickoff?
Yeah, and put in 11 a.m. there.
And put in what do you want me to put in?
01-10-10.
01-10-10. That's the date. And then you want me to put the time?
Yeah, and you would put 11 a.m. instead of kickoff.
11 a.m. So now refresh it and see if that's what you want.
Yeah, and then we're going to put it up top in the right order. You can do that.
Well, if it's 11 a.m., it's going to end up down below. Shoot, what just happened?
How come they can't be linearly top to bottom? You have WBA Radio Unnameable generate. That would be just under 2009 shows. Then the next one would be...
See, what I should do is create a separate folder for the WBAI birthday party and put them all in there.
Yeah, and then it would and have it come after WBAI Radio Unnameable in the vertical list. Right?
Yeah.
So they're in order.
Oh, yeah.
Horizontally.
Yeah.
So after 2009 shows, that whole folder, you then put WBAI Radio Unnameable January 8th, 10th. Then you do the WBAI 50th Anniversary folder. And within that, you'd have all the dates, right?
Right.
Like you could have WBAI 50th Anniversary Celebration and the date as the title of this folder, right?
Okay, hold on. I'm going to type it in. What do you want me to title the folder?
WBAI 50th Anniversary.
WBAI. WBAI 50th Celebration.
Anniversary. Celebration.
A-N-N. How do you spell anniversary?
A-N-N-I-V-E-R.
S-A-R-Y. Celebration. C E L
E-R-A-T-I-O.
And then anything after that, or that's it?
Just the date.
What's the date?
01-10-10.
01-1-01. Okay, so I added that folder.
Right, and then inside you would have WBAI 50th, 11 a.m., then 1 p.m., then 2 p.m., 4 p.m., 6:30, 6 p.m., and then 6:30. You know what I mean? Just put them in order in the folder.
Right. Hold on a sec. Okay. Now, I guess maybe update the... Hold on a sec. Yeah, you might ask Ian about Katie Byron. She really is special, I'll tell you.
She's an older woman now, right?
Yeah, she is. But let's see here.
Let me see. I'll put a note in. Questions for Ian. Katie Byron.
Yeah.
No, Byron Katie.
Byron Katie, yeah.
B-Y-R-O-N. And you saw her before you heard of me.
No, I was already into Bob when I found out about her.
But it's in the 90s.
Yeah. When I did a couple of her little workshops when I was in L.A.
Yeah, at least 10 years ago, so she's been around a long time.
Yeah. As a matter of fact, you know what, Bob? There, I found when we were into who did we interview in India? Robert Carr.
Bob Carr.
Okay, now Bob Carr was into the UG Krishnamurti.
Yeah.
I found on the UG Krishnamurti site her having a dialogue with UG Krishnamurti.
You found on the UG Krishnamurti.
I found on the UG Krishnamurti website a dialogue between her and UG Krishnamurti. I have it.
Right.
That was cool.
Yeah.
So, you know.
And she was able to handle him?
Yeah, he was kind of trying to diss her, but she was hanging in there.
Right. Okay, Byron, B-Y-R-O-N.
Yeah.
Okay, Katie. Okay, I've got her website. Does she live in L.A.?
I think she's like in, she's got a compound in Barstow or something.
That's in,
like near Las Vegas, yeah.
So she was on Oprah.
She's becoming known.
So what, Barstow, that's in California, okay.
Yeah.
Press store about Katie.
Okay, I sent you a link. Well, I could probably tell you over the phone, but just to make it easy, I sent you a link to the where you can get to the WBAI 50th anniversary celebration folder.
I couldn't do that just looking at what I'm looking at already.
Well, you probably could, but I'm not sure what you're looking at. It's hard for me to. I can't see it.
All right, so there it is. Now, you see where you got 50th anniversary celebration. I'm looking at the list, index of archives, parent directory, 2008 show, 2009 shows. You got to put WBI radio enabled January 8th, 10th above WBII 50th anniversary celebration. You know what I mean? Put them in the right order.
Oh, the radio enabled has to be above that?
Yeah, because it's January 8th, the next thing.
Okay, well, then I have to put a letter in front of the WBAI 50th anniversary.
Oh,
I have to put a letter in front of that that'll put it down below the other WBAI.
Oh, it makes it, it goes alphabetical.
Yeah.
So you would put a letter in front of what?
A WBAI 50th anniversary. I could put like, you know, I'd have to put something in front of it that would alphabetically.
Yeah, you would put the THE, because then the T is after radio,
okay.
Right? After R, the 50th anniversary.
Well, no, T comes before W.
No, you got WBI, WBI. They're equal. It's the next word, 50th versus radio.
No, no. The WBA, W is the first letter in the sentence, and that's what it's going to look for at first in order to figure out where to place it in the list.
Well, why does it put 50th in front of radio, before radio?
Because the number comes before the letter.
Okay, so if you if you put, you see, WBAI, they're equal. It's what happens with 50th and radio that determines where they are on the list, right?
Yeah.
Okay, so put THE in front of 50th, and that's T, and that's after R.
Oh, okay. Let's see if that works.
And you've got the date wrong. You've got 10. It should be 01.
Oh, okay.
And then you've got a slash after, but maybe that's hard.
That I can't do anything about that.
Okay. Oh, yeah, the others have that, yeah. And did we talk about you changing radio on nameable and adding the E, but that, or that's too many spaces? I think that was too many spaces. Yeah, that was too many spaces. Because unnameable is spelled wrong, but we talked about that before, and you couldn't change that, correct?
Right.
It would screw things up. Okay, forget about it. So you put the 50.
So I put the in there, and it's still up above. Oh, I know, because the other one has a, you can't see it, but it has an underscore between the letter A and, I mean, hold on a sec. Let's try this one more time. Well, that didn't work either. I think. LMNOPQRS. No, T comes after. Oh, yeah, T comes after R. So what's the hang?
Maybe it has to be capital T.
No, I don't think that should matter. I could try it, but let's see here. I'm just looking at something here. Oh, yeah. Okay, it is down below. You have to refresh your screen.
Why did it go down below? Because you put a capital T in?
No, because I put an underscore between the letter I and the letter T.
Okay, the underscore, no underscore between WBAI and radio.
Yeah, there is one, and that's that had
that
to be there.
That below. So you put an underscore between the WBAI and the 50th, and it worked. Okay, so you've got the date, 01-10, that's correct, and 01-08-10, that's right.
So then double-click and open that.
Right, the WBA birthday party continues 1 p.m., 2, that's good, 4, 6. Now, see, you've got 6 p.m., it should be before 6:30 p.m.
Okay, hold on a sec.
And 11 a.m. should be at the top. But maybe you need to play with the lettering to make that work.
Yeah, that's right, because we want that to be at the top of the list, right?
Yeah. So
let's see. Well, no, that should work. If I put...
No?
I should put... No, the problem is W comes after T, so that's why it's at the bottom of the list.
So I can put... Get rid of the does. And don't put the WBA. Just put WBA. Make them all W.
All right. I have to do them one at a time. Let's see. Yeah, that's going to work.
So remember, put 11 a.m. first, then 1, 2, 4, and then 6, and then 6:30.
Well, let me just get rid of the does first.
Yeah.
Did you ever ask Ion about the, like, UG or, you know, Christian Murray?
Oh, yeah. No, we did.
Well, what did he say?
No. Oh, I asked to speak to UG.
Uh-huh.
In, you know, in the Guff.
Yeah.
Or wherever he is. And Ion said he would not speak to me.
Because,
no, do you know why?
Why?
Because it would contradict all that he taught. He taught that there was nothing after death.
Oh.
So he had to remain true to his dogma, and so he wouldn't talk to me.
Huh.
Isn't that great? And Ion knew it.
Yeah.
Ion didn't know anything about, you
know. Is he in the Guff?
Ion knew how to describe UG.
Huh.
He described UGA as a guy who taught that no, nothing happens after death. And then Ion exposed UGA. He said, the guy's here, but he won't talk because it contradicts what all that he taught. Isn't that, that's an incredible statement.
But was is he in the Guff?
Yeah, he's over there somewhere, but he doesn't want to admit
Well, not over there somewhere. Is he in the Guff? You're either in the Guff or you're not.
No, I don't know. Oh, you don't. Not everybody's in the Guff.
Yeah, I know. So is he in
the
Guff?
I don't know if he's
in the Guff. Because you used to ask I on that about everybody, so you stopped asking that, apparently.
Well, I may have asked it. I can't remember.
Oh.
See, back when I asked about that, I didn't know there was other levels.
Right.
Now I do, and so I don't know what I said. And Ion might have just said that, yes, he's in the Guff because I didn't know enough yet to find out the difference.
Yeah. So the 6:30 comes before the 6:30 comes before the 6 p.m. because the 3 comes before P in the p.m. in the last two there. See?
The 3 and the 6:30 is ahead of 6. 3 becomes before 6, right? So
well, no, 3 comes before P because the two 6s are equal, and then you have 6:3 and then you have 6 P.
Well, we'll put 6:00 then.
Oh, good. Okay, for 6 a.m.
Yeah.
Okay, I did it.
Okay, I'll refresh. Okay, WBAI all the way down, 50th anniversary celebration, 01, 10, 10, 11 a.m. Birthday party continues, birthday, that's all good. Birthday party continues. 1, 2, 4, 6, perfect.
Yeah.
And I'll have to now listen. I've listened to the 11 a.m., that was good, but I haven't heard much of the others. I just checked to see which one was, I heard Bob Fass on there. So, okay, stick that in. So the folder, so I go back to the folder. Let's see, click, correct that. Yep, no, that's really good. W50th anniversary celebration, 11 a.m. Perfect.
Okay.
And I assume the 11 a.m. is a two-hour show. It was 2 hours, and the rest are just an hour or a half hour.
Yeah, I think that's right.
It's all whatever it is, it's all there.
Yeah, it's all there.
Okay, so we're up to date. What's next? Sorry I forced that WBAI on you, but it's probably pretty historical.
Mm-hmm.
There was different talk about Bob Fass. It fits in with the radio unnameable history.
Right. Now, he's still alive and doing the show live, or these are all...
Yep.
Oh, for some reason, I thought... For a while, I thought these were just recycled old shows. I thought died or something. He didn't.
No.
He hasn't died.
No. Hmm. And he, you know, like all... What's today? Monday. I already listened to last Thursday's show. And then he'll come into next Thursday's show and he'll be on again, or his friend will be on. He's been in the hospital a little bit lately.
Mm.
Missed a few shows.
Mm. But you don't try to call in anymore.
No. I don't want... He's too dead to talk to.
Yeah.
I just find the environment... there's these idiots that call in and harass them. The environment is an interesting study. I'm doing it for not the normal listener reasons.
Right.
But for those that don't have my attitude, it is an interesting record of all these histories.
Well, you apparently have some nostalgia with whatever the ambiance of the program is.
No. I'm interested in recording Krasner or any of these guys to put on the site as the oral history of that period.
And, yeah.
And he brings in all that stuff. He has those people on.
Yeah.
Gerd's off and on.
Uh-huh.
You know, once a year or something. So... it's a good document of that period with all the people who were part of it talking.
Right.
That's why I'm doing it. It's nothing to do... I mean, Bob Fass, they've all turned out to be idiots from my point of view, you know.
Yeah. Yeah, I listened to the first part, the first one where Krasner was in there, and, you know, he's just rehashing the same old shit over and over and over.
Yeah, it's very solipsistic, narcissistic. They all just talk about themselves, but it is a history.
Yeah.
If one's interested.
Oh, there was a show on, You know, I haven't been listening at all. As a matter of fact, I canceled my subscription, but I haven't been listening at all to Coast, but I got a call from Mike Shields. So he wanted to know if there was a particular Coast to Coast show that I could download, because they did the history of some guy wrote a book on the Leary, and a new book on Leary and Al Ram Dass and Metzner and those guys, and Andy Weil, a more accurate history of what happened at Harvard and thereafter.
Shields mentioned the book to me.
I forget what it was called. So no, it was kind of interesting to hear. But that I mean, 5 years ago, I probably would have dug hearing that, and now I'm like, I could take it or leave it. I don't care anymore.
Yeah. Not relevant. The ion thing is showing up. I tell you, I'm always on the leading edge, and people just begin to appreciate McLuhan now. Well, that's a long time ago. And where's Bob now? Check out where he is now.
Yeah, off the deep end. Gone.
Yeah gone.
Just those little particles of dust where Bob used to be.
Yet now Bob takes over.
Yeah. Well, the X's finally have landed.
Yeah.
Didn't that happen in 98 or whenever they...
happened in 88.
Hank said it was going to happen.
Happened in 88.
With the Evergreens?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Now they've really landed.
Yeah.
Now they've completed the landing that was going on for 30 years.
Yeah.
Okay, that's it, man.
Okay, Bob.
We'll keep in touch and keep it up. Keep it up.
Yeah, just keep doing whatever and don't identify with it.
Yeah, and identify with only half of it.
Oh, okay.
Two conversations.
Yeah, just know that you can put it on and take it off.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, Scott, thanks a lot. We'll talk to you probably next week.
Okay, bye.
If Scott Wood survives.
Yeah, if he could, yeah, right. Everybody ends up having a crisis sooner or later.
That's right. Okay, talk to you later.
Okay.
Oh, did you see what I wrote back to you? I sent to you what I said to Jerry when he said David Porter died. I write back, cool.
Oh, I know. You're such an asshole, Bob. Oh, I was listening to some old archival stuff, and Jerry was taking phone calls, and he took a phone call from Porter that I was listening to like the day before I found out he died, and he took a phone call from Krasner, and I realized, you know, I mean, if I didn't know you guys, I mean, back then I would hold Krasner as being somebody that I would put, you know, way up on a pedestal above me because he was a character involved in the, you know, a pro,
you know, you
he,
don't need
he, in other words, he made a name for himself.
And your point is?
Well, it's just funny to hear, like, you know, Jerry babysitting Bob, Paul Krasner on the telephone and realizing that my friends are more awesome than icons of the culture.
Yeah. That's it. You've arrived at Tom's house. That's right. Yep. You and your friends have gone off the deep end.
Yeah.
You're about to be the center of everything.
Yeah, that's right.
Very good, Scott.
Talk to you next week, probably.
That's a good percept.
Yeah.
Yeah, Krasno's guys, fast, leery, there's nothing.
Yeah. I know, and they I held them up as kind of cultural heroes in my mind. You know, I met Leary just before he died at his last birthday party. He walked around and he introduced himself to everyone. He walked over, he turned around, extended his hand, and I freaked out. I could barely shake hands with the guy. I like practically crumbled and fell to the ground. You know, and here I am, and here I already knew the greatest man alive, Bob, and I just hang out with you like you're my, like you know. We're...
Okay, see, that's the point. Your TV body almost collapsed.
Oh, yeah.
What you're talking about here.
Mm-hmm.
That's your TV body. Your chemical body knows Bob, and you're hearing these people report in from the TV landscape, the iconography of that. and you are mistaking your chemical body knowledge of Dobbs sound with your chemical TV body hypnotism.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
See, that's your TV body was collapsing, not your chemical body, delirium.
Right.
Okay, good. There is the latest lesson.
Okay, I'll talk to you later.
Okay, bye, Scott. Bye.